Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on another hot, warm weekend here in Iowa. We are in full bloom. It's exciting about all the things that are going on. I can't help but think, you know, we're stepping in, we're looking, we're staring at fall, folks. You got to realize that this coming next week in our big city in Oskaloosa, we have what they call the sweet corn serenade. And I love it. It brings out a lot of farmers. It brings out a lot of people in the community. Just a great family night venture. And but it always tells me this, when that hits, that means fall is coming soon. But I am so looking forward to that time together. And maybe today, you know, just some different things as you're traveling. Maybe you're on a destination headed down the highway today, headed on vacation, returning back from vacation, or you're headed somewhere just because it's the weekend. Just want to thank you for listening. Also, to those of you who are headed on the way to church this morning, again, I just so appreciate the people coming up and saying, hey, we listened to you on the way. Thank you. And also, for many folks, this is your church time. And I want to thank you for allowing me to participate as we open up God's Word, as we talk about it, see how it applies to our lives, and then take it and put it into action at the same time. But with that being said, just a couple of things I want to highlight again. Coming up this fall, September 5 and 6, barring that we can cross state lines, we are having our next couples ride, our final one for the fall. We've never done this before, but that's going to be September 5 and 6, Saturday, Sunday. We are going to be headed to Galena, Illinois, and it's just a great time. I know the women are excited about that. There's some great shopping and that sort of thing, and us guys will tag along and really spend time with our wives, enjoy that time of getting away for the weekend. And also, too, we have another event that's coming up. Our Vital Gathering will be September 13th at Debbie's Celebration Barn. At this time, we are still planning on going on inside and also to having food. But again, that's barring that things are still okay and we're allowed to do that. So we'll be mindful of that. We'll keep you updated. Keep watching our Vital Ministries website. Again, I want to encourage you. We have a new website that's set up, a new branding, a new logo that's been established, some good things. And it just, I think the folks at Pella Hostings just did a wonderful job. And man, I tell you what, I highly recommend them. If you need any kind of that website work, that kind of team, Leslie and her team just does a fantastic job. So I want to give a plug and also too, a big thank you for how they've helped us get through this and these changes. But we're starting we're in a new teaching series. We started last week with our series called I Am Chosen. And we talked about how Jesus chooses us as to us choosing him. Last week, many theologians will argue this point, but as we dive into these different disciples, both men and women, as we look into the Gospels, we'll see how Jesus does the choosing and also continues that from the beginning of time through Genesis all the way through Revelation about how that choosing has been done and has been established. And it takes a lot of pressure off too at the same time, and just some good things. But last week we also talked about Mary Magdalene in which Jesus had cast out 7 demons, which is referenced in Luke chapter 8 verse 2, and how she and the other women followed Jesus as well as contributed their resources to support Jesus and the disciples. You know, as I think about those contributions and that support, every ministry, every church, every religious organization seeks support in order to exist. That's just how it works. Matter of fact, Vital Ministries, same way. We are supported by many faithful men and women who support us, and also to churches. But also, too, we have online giving as well, and you can go to our website. And that's not meant for a plug for that this morning, but that's how we exist. That's how ministry happens. See, Jesus also continued his ministry the same way. Some might say, well, he was the Son of God, so God himself supported Jesus. Yes, very much true. But God chooses to work through people. He chooses to, and sometimes through that we see Jesus in his ministry and through the miracles and the different things how God did supply, but at the same time we'll see how he used people to help support his son's ministry. And we'll see that as the weeks ahead as we continue our teaching series, I Am Chosen. Early on in Jesus' ministry, we'll see multitudes following Jesus, but as time goes on, we'll just see how it goes down to simply 12 men, the disciples, and a handful of women who stayed the course and the call of being chosen. This past week, I had an opportunity with a pump operator in our community. I noticed something unique about this young man, how he carried himself different. You could just tell there was something different about him, and that I could sense that he had faith. And we started talking while he was pumping concrete, and we talked about being a Christian, brought the subject up, and he said, "Man, hey, we're both Christians. So with that, Jesus is our Savior. We've confessed sin, and now we're following Christ." And I thought, wow, how cool was that in the midst of the day working with a young man that I've never met before. But I loved it. It was simple, and yet it was direct. And being the directedness, it brought us both to accountability of being brothers in Christ. So I asked him just a few things about how he became a Christian. What was his story? And it was interesting, his story, and this is just really short and real brief. I won't take a lot of time here with that this morning. But he talked about his addictions. He had a drug addiction, and he also had a pornography addiction. Just was right out open about it and shared with me. But he said, I asked him, "So how did you overcome? What was the steps?" And he said, "Well, one of the biggest things, I was involved in Hope Lutheran Church in Des Moines through their Celebrate Recovery program." He said, "Mike, they took me in. They brought me in. They didn't look down on me. They helped me get back on my feet. And now today, I would say that between the success of what Jesus Christ has changed, the transformation in my life, and also to church brothers and sisters and a church itself came alongside me, I am the example that you can overcome." And I love that in our time together. And I directed him. He wanted to know a little bit about me. And I talked about Vital Ministries. And he said, "Man, how do you get on your website, Mike?" And it was kind of cool. I had one of my wristbands on that has strength and courage that comes out of Joshua 1:9. But on the inside of that band, it directs you right back to our website. And I love that. It made it easy for the connection between the two of us to do that. And I just love those moments when the Holy Spirit allows that and people meet. But again, I am chosen. I want to continue that today with first, we're going to look at another man, another young man at the time when he started in following Jesus, and his name is Simon. Simon was chosen, which where I'm talking about Peter here. Simon was chosen by Jesus, and he actually had three names. A lot of people don't know that, but he really did. And Jesus would call him out differently in those names. Obviously, when Jesus first met Simon, you know, it was interesting. He called him out, hadn't met him yet, but called him by name. How did he know that? He was chosen. Not only that, he knew his name before the formation of the very earth. We have scriptures that base that shows that our God, the Father, knows us, and so does the Son, and how the Holy Spirit speaks to us through both of those, our Lord and our Savior, and also through the Father. But with that being said, the three names of Peter were this. Number one, Simon, which was his birth name. That was what his parents had called him. But then when Jesus, it's interesting, I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 5. But we're going to see something that shifts a little bit. Jesus not only calls him Simon, but we'll see later on in Scripture, a matter of two verses, he calls him Simon Peter. Now, when he does that, what I find interesting when Jesus calls him out, Simon Peter, is back where gets back to where Simon was when Jesus first met him. I would call this is the man of the flesh, which was when he walked in his own brass instincts, when he wasn't walking in what I would say in the spirit, but in his own flesh and how he was directed. And it's easy for us to do that. Then Jesus calls him out directly and actually calls him by name. He calls him Peter, which means the rock, which is just an interesting thing. He says, in which he saw something in Simon. So he saw his future, and in his future was Peter. And I think that's so interesting in the midst of our lives of how people will call us out differently. You know, my birth name is actually Michael. And my parents, most people don't call me Michael, but most people call me Mike. That was an abbreviated name. Seldom did my parents ever call me Michael, except my mother would when I got in trouble. Michael, you know, and all those different things. And I will tell you this, when people call me Michael, it puts me in a sense of attention, pay attention to listen. See, Peter, this was interesting about Peter, and a lot of people, he gets a bad rap, but at the same time, this is who he was. This is how it all started. Peter was outspoken, but he was also an ardent disciple. This means that he was driven by his own passion. He was passionate about what he did. He was one of Jesus's, there are three of them, James, Peter, and John. But Jesus was one of his closest friends, and he was an apostle and a pillar of the church. While he was strong-willed, he was also impulsive. He was also very brash. But yet, although he failed, Jesus still chose him. He never gave up on him. I love that about what the Lord does. Even in the midst of the mistakes that we do in life, we serve a God who doesn't give up on us. There's times we give up on Jesus. I've done that in my own life. Given up, lost hope, lost faith. But Jesus is always wooing us back. Come back. It's all good. I'm going to help you get back up on your feet and keep moving. And again, I want to encourage all of you who, I get a lot of this information, but I love this series that comes from YouTube. It's called The Chosen. I want to encourage you to get on that. It's some good stuff. It really breaks down a lot about the disciples in a different, unique way that I have never seen before on the different video series or movies they've made about Jesus. But this does, I think, a wonderful job. And it's called The Chosen. It gives you a firsthand look at the men and women that Jesus chose. And an interesting note here, Peter is the only disciple that is referenced being married. Don't you find that unique? And having a wife. And Jesus goes in, if you watch the movie The Chosen, Jesus really speaks into that to Peter's wife. And takes it to a different level. And there's a lot of assumptions and a lot of correlation because we don't have a lot of those references in the Bible. But he still referenced that Peter was both, that he was married and that he had a wife. And that plays out in Peter's life as he follows Jesus. But let's see firsthand the encounter this morning of Jesus and Peter. The first time they met, the first place where Jesus sees something in Simon and he chooses. So again, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to look up Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 with me. And let's see what the Lord has to say in the midst of Peter's life. Starting with verse 1, it says this. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats on the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, the owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from the boat itself, from there. Now, here's some things that I find that's really good for us this morning is this. See, being a fisherman, that wasn't an easy job. That was not something that you take for granted. Man, in order to be a fisherman, it took a person that was willing to be persistent, strong. I got a side story that I can't help but not share this morning about my grandpa. Boy, that man, he was a fisherman. He was a farmer by trade. That's what he did. Little 100-acre farm plot, raised 9 kids. You know, the story, we all have those about grandparents back in the day that could raise a family on 100 acres. Man, today, that cannot, you cannot do that. You cannot survive. But back in that time, in that era, my grandpa, he went from the time of horses pulling behind a planter and a plow to where they started having actual tractors and seeing the things that he saw in his life. It was amazing. I can only imagine how that must have been. But in his spare time, this man loved to fish. Man, I tell you what, we'd go out and he'd go out, he'd carry this 5-gallon bucket. He'd have worms, stink bait, chicken livers, catfish bait, all this stuff to go catch these fish. And at the same time, he'd be out there fishing alongside a river, alongside a pond. And man, mosquitoes would be swarming all around him. But man, that didn't stop him. He had this great big straw hat, or if it was a little closer in the fall, he'd always have this farmer's hat, the stripe. He'd wear these striped bib overalls and a striped hat. A lot of you are getting a picture of how your grandparents must have been the same. But this man had great patience. See, to be a fisherman, it takes patience, it takes courage, and it takes determination to sit out to make the catch. And that's exactly the men that Jesus needed. He saw something in these fishermen. He saw something in Simon that he couldn't see in himself. But so you can imagine for a moment, here's here's Jesus jumping into a boat, didn't ask, climbs in, and then tells Simon, push us out into the water. So he begins to teach the people. What a moment that must have been. I can only imagine how, you know, Jesus always has a way of speaking to the hearts, and we're going to talk about that a little deeper on my third point this morning. But Jesus always finds a way to connect with us right where we are, in the midst of how we do life. No matter what trade that you're in, no matter what your profession is in, Jesus does some amazing things. But I want to move to point number two this morning. It says this, let's try it again. Luke 5, verses 4 through 7. It says this, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now, go out where it's deeper and let down your nets and catch some fish. But then it goes in verse 5, it says, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear, and a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were so filled with fish, they were on the verge of sinking. See, Jesus tells Simon to go out into deeper water to fish. Now it's daytime. Anybody knows, see, I've been on the Sea of Galilee, majority of all the fishing is always done at night. And that's a lot of time. Fishermen will tell you the same thing, or you find a cool spot to where fish might be feeding or whatnot. But on the Sea of Galilee, the prime time is to fish at night. So he goes and tells Peter, let's do it again. Go out and let your nets back down in the water. So Simon knows Jesus. Now bear in mind, Jesus is a carpenter. He's not a fisherman. He doesn't have a clue about what's going on, about what it means to be fishing. But see, Jesus is going to do, we're going to see a miracle here, which happens to speak into Simon Peter's life. But it's something that's really intriguing. See, I've been in the trades most of my life, and I know how to build homes. I'm familiar with electrical, plumbing, HVAC, the trades. And again, being familiar doesn't make me an expert, but it makes me familiar about what's going on. That's what it's called to do my trade as being a general contractor. And again, with being a carpenter, I'd have to say I have a lot of farmer friends. I know very little about farming. But I know a lot of farmers who have great insight in what it means to farm. And I love hanging around these guys, and by no means, as being a carpenter, do I ever give them any insight in how to farm. That would just go wrong. That's just how it is in life. Well, Jesus has, again, he has this moment, but before we jump into that, see, when he has this moment with Jesus, see, Jesus is the Son of God. He made the fish. So he doesn't have to go out at night to go on the Sea of Galilee to catch great fish. He knows where to go, and he calls upon the fish themselves to come into the catch. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to spend some time with a good friend of mine. His name is Steve Van Utrecht, and Steve might even be listening this morning. He's a good friend, a farmer up in the New Sharon area. And that night we rode for hours together. I had never been on a combine, and he was actually combining beans. I have not. He keeps wanting me to come out and do the corn sometime. But I was marveled at sitting on this combine, and as it was going, and all the electronics, and how he showed me how through up in the sky and the satellites, and how that all that works, that could actually run the combine. And he showed me how it could align and put it in a certain angle, a different degree. And I was even marveled about how the combine could tell as it was gaining the soybeans of what the harvest was. And I saw that harvest bounce back and forth, going up and down. He says, look at this, Mike. This soil isn't as good. It's less soybeans. And then we got to better soil. Man, it was just boom, 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 boom. You could see the bushel count just rose like crazy. But see, when we were on the combine, here's the interesting thing. It wasn't that I was wanting to ride the combine to learn how to combine. Man, I don't have any interest in doing that. That is not my passion. That is not what I was called to do. See, the real reason why I was on the combine is to be with my Steve, with my good friend Steve. I wanted to know him better. I wanted to get into his world. I wanted to get into a place that we could draw deeper friendship, and out of deeper friendship, we grow deeper in the faith of our relationship with each other because I have a concept of what he does. See, Jesus does this such a beautiful job of doing this. He knows when he goes out and he chooses people, he got into their world. He got into the place where they are. He got into the place of action. And out of that place of action and out of that place of working with different people as he was choosing them, choosing both men and women, he got, you know, last week we talked about Mary Magdalene. He got into her world. Even though her world was dark, had a lot of promiscuity, had a lot of sin, Jesus was not afraid to get in the midst of our stuff. And that's the same God that we serve today. He is not afraid to get it up to his neck in the midst of the things that we got going on in life, because out of that, he's our rescuer. He comes in and he pulls us out from the miry clay. I'm getting just excited just thinking about it this morning. How he comes and he can help us. Man, what greater time in the midst of where we are right now today, in the midst of chaos, you can sit and talk with people. I had different people come up to me yesterday. Mike, have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime? Did you ever think our nation would be where it's at? No. Absolutely not, but this is where we are. And I tell you what, our nation has had tough times in the very beginnings of our nation. Can you imagine when they started out, when they did the Declaration of Independence, it didn't stop there. There was a lot of frustrating moments. There was a lot of protesting. There was a lot of loud voices going on because you still had, it said, my understanding, even when they changed and America became a country, 30% of the population that lived in America were still loyal to the crown. 30% of the population were loyal to the Federation. They were called loyalists. And then you had the 30 of that created the Constitution were loaded to becoming America. Man, they had discord. And let's talk about the Civil War. It got to the point that American brother and brother, family against family, were fighting over in the Civil War. So folks, God's in control of this. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's not keeping our eyes on the situation, but we got to go deeper, which brings me to point number 3, speaking to the heart. Let's continue this morning, starting with verse 8 through 11. It says this, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees. I love this part. This, man, I tell you what, when I read this, it just hits me. I hope it hits you this morning too. I'm going to read it again. When Simon Peter realized what happened, he falls to his knees before Jesus, and he says this. He says, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others that were with him. His partners were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they were also amazed. And Jesus says this to Simon. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Some translations will say fishing for men. And as soon as they had landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. See, we get this whole piece where Jesus is actually speaking to the heart of these men. How he spoke to that was through a miracle. Jesus goes out and performs this miracle that touches the right where they see. These men had been up all night long, caught nothing. Can you imagine the frustration? Because when you catch nothing, you make nothing. And they were so frustrated. Man, have you ever had a moment like that? You just worked all day long. And to be honest with you, it was an absolute loss. There was no money made. Matter of fact, there's moments when you do that, it actually goes the other way. It costs you money. We've all had those moments, haven't we? And Jesus goes and he speaks to these men right where they are, and especially to Simon Peter, because he sees a leader. He sees a man who's going to lead his disciples because he knows he only has 3 years with these men. He's going to pour out everything to them. And then he tells them later, as we will read in Scripture, the Holy Spirit will help you remember. So when you go and write about the things about what you have seen, because you're going to share the story that's going to make a difference, because I choose you, and by choosing you, you are going to send out the gospel message. You're going to be part of the Great Commission. We're going to see that later on in Scripture. But again, Jesus speaks to the heart, speaks right where they were. And maybe this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking right to you. Maybe this morning you had something. You know what? You're at your end. You're the stress, the anxiety. Where do I go next? Maybe you're just needing financially. You're struggling this morning. Man, there's you. Some of you out there have lost your job. Some of you have had to change your professions, all due to what's happened in our country. Folks, I'm going to bring you the good news. Jesus is in control. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. That's the only way we're going to get through this together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to know that Jesus has got that He chooses you this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank You for this day. I thank You for the opportunity, how You continue to choose both men and women, how You choose us in the midst of our sinful ways. Like Peter this morning, I can say, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. But You said no to Peter. You hung out with him. You helped raise him. Even in the moments at the very end of Your ministry, He still failed You greatly. But yet on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee, You raise him again. You see something that he can't see in himself. Holy Spirit, show us this morning. Maybe somebody out there listening, they need to be shown that there's something good within them. Because of You, that's what's good. I want to thank You, Jesus, for who You are and how You love us. Oh, how You love us. In Your name I pray. Amen. Next week, you're not going to want to miss it. We are going to talk about a wedding, the wedding at Cana. We're going to see how Jesus turns water back into wine. It's going to be a great teaching and how it